Great expectations. Lashley says that it starts with the church if we want to see revival. If we want to see help in our world, it starts with the church. You believe that? I believe that. And I hope you believe it. So here we are today, the church of God and Jones Chapel, to have great expectations. Are you expecting anything great in your life right now? This couple back here in the back that just got married, they're expecting great things. They're saying, man, looky here, we just got married. Life's wonderful. This couple right over here saying, life's great, aren't you? Dad holding that little girl, that little bow in her hair, and she's got more hair than the preacher's got. But they're saying, man, I've got great expectations for that little girl. These girls sitting over here with Mama Helen or whatever they call her, I don't know, but they're smiling and they're saying life's good today. Now, somebody might say, huh, I'm having a tough time. But I want you to have great expectations. We need great expectations. I need great expectations. You need them. Your family needs them. The church body needs them. And the world needs great expectations. Because God's still alive. Amen? All around the world, He's still alive. And people see Him. And a great move in India is still going on. And I just thank God for it. And glad we can be small parts of it. How people are just coming by the thousands to know the Lord. And I look at our own country and I think, God, what can we do? What is it we need to do to see people coming to Christ just one after another in the church just catching fire? We need to have great expectations because God is still God. So I hope you're expecting great expectations. How many of you watch Fox News? All right. How many watch CNN? How many watch both? How many just assume not watch the news? See now! Lashley said, that's what I'm talking about a minute ago. Listen, if you watch too much of that stuff, you're not going to have a very good expectation of things. And you say, well, now reality's reality. I understand that. There's things we need to deal with. There's things in our world, our country, our own lives, our own church, our own hearts that we must deal with to be blameless and pure before Almighty God. A lot to deal with. But at the same time, I'll tell you, too much news is too much, I guess, you know. But we look at our country, we pray for our country. But if we just get the mindset of those news channels sometimes, it takes us places that we think, well, is there any hope? I say to you today, there's as much hope today as there was in the best times of your life. And the best time that your mind would take you back to and say, this was such a great year, a great time. Some studies I read say that the age of 34 is the happiest time for people. They've grown up a little bit. They've got a house or whatever. You know, we can talk about the American dream where they're just kind of getting settled. The age 34 is the happiest age. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I can still remember 34 easier than some of you. Huh? 34, is that the key or not? I don't know. Great expectations. What are you expecting from God? Well, Fox News will tell you, you know, in God we trust on our money and all this, that, and the other, but they don't get down to some of the things we really need. It's in the Bible. It's still that old book that's been laying on the coffee table, and it's still the one Grandma gave you. It's still in there in the Bible. And we need to read it. We need to have great expectations. So I encourage you to be before the Lord in prayer, in His Word, and start expecting great things in your own life, your family, and the body of Christ, that God will do a work right here at Jones Chapel. Our scripture today is Acts 1:6-11, and this is Jesus' last day on earth here. It's His last day, and He's trying to get a message out here, and we want to look at it. Acts 1:6-11. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, "This is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." So here's the ascension of the Lord. He goes up through the clouds and back to his rightful place, if you will. And the disciples had come together here. I guess God arranged it just the way he wanted it. But here's over 500 disciples, and they're gathered at one spot. And you kind of imagine them gathered probably up on top of a mountain, and they're there together. And here the Lord is ready to ascend. So they were all at one location. And this first scene of this scripture is that Jesus is promising the kingdom and that kind of thing. So they're excited about that. They're surrounded Christ. And then here's that question. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? They were still thinking in their mind about a physical Messiah. They were still thinking about a warrior, if you will. They still had that thought pattern after all that had happened. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel, it says here. Still thinking earthly, physical, Messiah, that kind of thing. He says, listen, don't worry about that right now. He said, I want you to be concerned not things like position and power, in so many words is what he was saying, and he still says it to us today. Don't be worried about the position and the power, the authority, the rule and the reign, that kind of thing. We as believers, I think he's saying, listen, you're to be concerned about ministry. You're to be concerned about proclaiming the gospel. We are to be concerned about going out and witnessing for what Jesus wants us to do. Matter of fact, he says, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father set by his own authority. And then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what we need, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not for you to know. Now, some people, you know, like myself, we accept that. There's some people today that is exploring every theory of the end of time, want to know exactly when it's going to happen, exactly how it's going to happen. And if you want to do that, that's fine. We need to have some understanding. But I kind of like this, you know. I'm going to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am. I've accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit because He filled me and He helps me daily to live for Him. That don't make me perfect, but that means I'm on the road I need to be. Now, what will happen at the end of time? I cannot stand in any pulpit and tell you exactly what will happen at the end of time. But Jesus is coming back, I can tell you that. Now, exactly how and exactly when and all that, I do not know. And I don't believe anybody else does either. But, you know, if you study that, that's up to you. And it is important. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying what is most important is that we be saved by the blood and living for Him, that no matter exactly what little detail we might have wrong or right, that because of my relationship with Jesus, I'm going to heaven. If He comes right now, I'm going to heaven. If I die 50 years from now, or however it works, because of my relationship with Jesus and His gift of salvation to me, I'm going to heaven. He rebuked these folks is what he did. He says, it's not for you to know the time and date the Father sent by his own authority. In so many words, he said, you're not going to know that. So you look and live like this is the last day, and long for heaven. Long for heaven and live like this is the last day. So the prophecy, the dates, the times, I don't know when he's coming, and no one else does either. We know some things are revealed in Scripture about that, but we don't know the exact time. So look for his coming. Yes, we know we're to do that, if it's even today, and be about witnessing, he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. He's concerned about us being filled with the Spirit and being his witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So now we know for sure about this. We don't know the exact day Jesus will come, but we know for sure he's saying, listen, be concerned about today, live today for the Lord, and your job is to witness. Your job is to witness. Allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and empower you and be my witnesses. It's kind of the second scene of this scripture here. And he gives the Great Commission. You're going to be equipped to do this job of witnessing through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying to us here. And it's through the Holy Spirit we have that power. Listen, don't be worried about the position. Don't be worried about the recognition and the fame and that kind of stuff. He's saying the power I'm talking about is supernatural. The power I'm talking about comes through God himself. It's spiritual. It is God himself. It is his Spirit, his power, his presence. His Spirit, that's what I want you to be concerned about, so that his Spirit may live and dwell in you. And nothing else will satisfy that. You can try all of these other things in life, and a lot of people do. We get caught up in families and jobs and careers, and on it goes. And we try, as Lori Salerno said, try to fill that God-shaped hole that we have with all kinds of good things, and unfortunately all kinds of bad things, from alcohol to drugs to everything else. We try to fill that God-shaped hole. With all that, and none of it works, because that God-shaped hole that he put in you is only going to be filled, and you're only going to be satisfied when God resides there. It's just the way we were created by our Creator. So he says, I want you to be empowered with my Spirit. That equipping power to, I will equip you to carry out this great task. And I'm giving you this great task, and it's called witnessing. I want you to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to be concerned about that. I want you to go tell people how they can live forever. I want you to tell people that there's hope. No matter what the economy is today, no matter what the war scene is around the world, no matter what country you live in, no matter if you're rich or poor or white or black or purple or pink or whatever, no matter, Jesus says there's hope. There's hope, and it's in him, in Jesus Christ the Lord. And you have the cure for sin. Do you realize that? You have the cure for sin. You know it. If you're not saved today, Jesus will save you. He will empower you to witness. You have the cure for sin and what the world desperately needs. And you know the answer. It's Jesus Christ the Lord. You know that. You possess that as a believer in the Lord. And we must share it. And I say to myself and to all that's listening today, God have mercy on us if we're not sharing salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not sharing Jesus and his hope with people, God have mercy on us. How many of you have been affected by cancer, yourself or someone in your family close to you? Raise your hand high. I mean, all these hands are going up. We've been affected by somebody who's had cancer. Now you think about it. If you knew, if you had within your power, your ability, within your hand, the cure for all cancer, and you did not share that, what would you think of yourself? if you had the cure for it, for cancer itself. I mean, all kinds of these cancers that we just hate. And you had the cure, but you held it to yourself. God have mercy. And then the church. Here we are, saved, going to heaven. Know Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. And we have the cure for sin. We have the cure. We have the hope for the world. And it's Jesus Christ the Lord. And we do not witness and tell people about Jesus. God help us. We have the cure for sin. And it's the Lord Himself. We have the cure. We must share it. And He's telling us here, please go share this. This is not sharing man's idea. It's not sharing all my thoughts and my opinions. You know, my opinions aren't that important. And I hate to tell you, yours aren't either when it comes to the Word of God. Now, you say, well, now that preacher's saying I'm not important. No, I didn't say that. You're very important to God. But what's your opinion compared to God's? What's my opinion compared to God's? Nothing. So we've got to look at God's opinion. What He says in this Bible, in this living book, this Word is alive and well. And we've got to look at it. Not sharing my thoughts, not sharing a quote religion even, but sharing Jesus Christ the Lord and witness for Him. That's what He tells us to do. And He says that if the Holy Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So one of two things. You're not filled with the Spirit or empowered with the Spirit, and you're not witnessing. Or you think you're empowered with the Spirit and you're not using it. Or you're empowered with it and you're using it. It's kind of, well, which is it? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. So if we're filled with the Spirit, then we're to be His witnesses. His witness, Jesus, not my thought, not my opinion, not some religion, but what Christ says. And the Spirit helps us with that. In Jerusalem, it says here, and then on outward to Judea and Samaria, until it reaches around the world. So, every believer, every born-again Christian, we're to go witness as far as we can personally go. We're to do that. Wherever it is, at the college, at the school here when it starts, at the workplace, on vacation, wherever we may be, we're to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says we will be here. We go as far as we can. We support. I can't go to India every day. You know, it's not possible. But I'm to support people who are there spreading the word. And so that's why we do that support, so souls can be saved. And we support things around the world. And certainly right here in our back door. So, the third scene now here in verse 9, if you want to look at that in your Bible, Jesus ascends before the disciples here. And here He goes, you know, just rising up through the clouds, if you will, slowly to rise from the earth, moving toward the sky. And here people are just shocked and spellbound, and we refer to it as the ascension of our Lord. And we know about that. And then we say, well, here's these men, guys in white standing there. And He says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen Him go into heaven. So as He went through the clouds and it was seated at the right hand of the Father, they said, why are you just looking up there for? He's gone. He's up here. But He's coming back. He'll come the same way. You'll see Him in the clouds. He's coming back. So let's focus on Him coming back. And again, we know He's coming. How, when, exactly every detail, I do not know. But the fact remains He's coming back. So live every day and be ready. So he left, and he's coming again. The ascended Lord, the ascended Son of God, the ascended High Priest of God. There's different references to the title, if you will, of what he has done. Then it moves on to the fourth scene here, that he's coming back. This same Jesus, not a different Jesus. This same Jesus, the Savior of the world, is coming again. The same Jesus is going to come again. Just like he was carried up, well, he's coming down again. You'll see him, you see, in the Shekinah glory of God surrounded him. And it will again. It will again. So we need to be ready. We need to be looking. The same Jesus, the same Lord, the same Savior is coming back again. So look at John 14 on the screen with me. John 14, 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You've heard that scripture many, many times. He's coming back for us again. Can we back up to Revelation 1:7? I skipped it. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Look, he's coming with the clouds. As he went up, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. So he's coming again. And he's preparing a place for us. If it weren't so, I've told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you can be there where I'm at. So we know he's coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." We know Jesus is coming back, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. He ascended, and he's coming down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So we know he's coming again. We know we're going to be with him in eternity, forever and ever, if we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. What are you expecting? What expectations do you have? Great expectations? Are you counting on the limitless power of God? The limitless campaign, and you say, well, that's the limitless power of God and the capital fund campaign. Yes, that was part of it. I hope you're making your pledges to pay on the Family Life Center. I hope you're doing what you said on your sheet and your commitment between you and God and allowing his limitless power in your finances to help the body of Christ here and pay that note off on that Family Life Center. But it was so much more than just that. The limitless power of God in every area of our life. We desperately need the limitless power of God. Do you believe it? We need it. I need the limitless power of God. You need it. The church body, your family, needs the power of Almighty God reviving us and speaking to us and letting the church be the church. We need to have great expectations of the Lord. So now you say, well, he's great. He's holy. How great thou art, Lashley said. And that is the truth. So I have to start with me. I have to look at myself. I have to say, God, is there any wicked way in me? Is there something here that's not pleasing to you? You've told me to be pure and blameless before you. You've told me to live a holy life before you. And now how am I living? How am I living? And if I see something there that I know full well doesn't match the Bible, I know that it's plain sin or whatever you want to call it, a mistake, a sin or whatever, but we know that it needs to be dealt with. And we go to the Lord and we say, God, forgive me. Forgive me of this sin. Forgive me of this attitude. Forgive me of these things. Whatever comes to your mind and your heart, forgive me of these things. So we repent of any known sin, of any thing that would be displeasing to the Lord. That's where the church comes in. That we start that way. We repent and say, God, forgive us. And then He does that. And we accept that mercy and that grace and that love and that forgiveness. We accept that and we walk in it. And we move forward in this message today, witnessing and saying, God, since you've forgiven me and since I'm here, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to have great expectations of kingdom things, not just what I want in life, but of kingdom things, of what God wants, God's plan for me and my family, for the church body. We're looking for great things, great expectations, the limitless power of Almighty God. But we know, God, it must come that it glorifies you and raises up the name of Jesus above every name. And we want the kingdom of God to be glorified. And I just believe God will step out on the clouds of glory and say, is that really your heart's desire? Do you really want to see some revival in your own life, in your family's life, in the church life, and in America's life, in the nation you live in? You really want to see that? Well, you just go ahead and repent of any known sin. You ask me to forgive you and do it with a genuine heart. And to accept that grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and walk in it and live in it. You ask me to fill you with the Spirit's power and you walk in that. You stay in tune with me through the living Word of God, through prayer and through that Bible. And you keep praying like you've never prayed before. And you keep expecting, no matter what the world says, no matter what your mama says, your daddy says, your wife says, or your husband says, because sometimes they're off base, you keep expecting the things that I've laid upon your heart and check them out with the Word of God to make sure they don't have any conflict, and you keep doing what you're doing, loving me, walking with me, and I've got it under control. I've got this, God says. I've got this, and I've got you, and I love you, and I want the best for you. Not what the world says, not whatever university says, not whatever crazy professor says that there is no God, that this religion is good as this religion, it's hogwash, there's one way to heaven, and that's still through Jesus Christ the Lord. It's been that way since the time, and it'll be that way when Jesus comes again. Jesus is the answer, and we need Him, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to have great expectations. I want you to have great expectations in kingdom business. Not just in your life, not what you can build, not what you can do, but what we as a body of Christ can do and build for the glory of God. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, as we stand to our feet in your presence, we again thank you and praise you for who you are. And Lord, we've said earlier today, we just don't have the vocabulary to praise you enough or to describe you to your full potential. But thank you, God, that we have some knowledge and we have a realization of how great you are. Through what you've done in our own lives, what you've done in the world around us, in the lives of other people. And we thank you for being God. And we thank you that in your marvelous love and plan, that you wanted to restore mankind to yourself. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you found a way through your only Son, Jesus, that would die on Calvary's cross for our sins. If we'd accept Him as our Savior and Lord, you'd forgive us of sin, and we could have a home in heaven someday. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit who speaks to us and who empowers us to live the way you want us to live. So, Father, we don't stick our head in the sand and pretend that we don't have any problems in our own life or families. We don't pretend that there's no problems in the world we live in or in our own country. But, Father, we lift our hands toward heaven today. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Word of the living God is true. We know that, Lord, you have saved our souls, and we have great hope and we have great expectations in the power of Almighty God. So today we humble ourselves. We ask you to forgive us of any sin, of anything that would come to our mind today. And we ask you, God, as we repent, as we ask you to forgive our nation and the things in our own life, God, and we repent of them and we turn from them and say we're sorry from them and God for them. And we say, now, God, here am I. Wash me white as snow. Here am I, God, use me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, fill me afresh and anew with your power, that I can be that wife or husband, that mother, that father, that grandparent that you want me to be. Here am I, God, fill me with your Spirit, that I'll be your witness in the workplace when it's hard to witness sometimes. I'll be your witness to family members when it's uncomfortable sometimes. I'll be what you want me to be. Come and empower me with your Spirit. So God, here we are today. You know all hearts and all minds, and I would pray we'll be submissive, we would be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says to us in this moment in time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.